We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Welcome everybody to Redemption Church in Plano, Texas. It's a beautiful day to be in Plano, isn't it?
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, we are not a mega church. Let me tell you about Redemption Church. We are not a mega church, but we like to say that we are a mighty church, all right? We just sent a check for over $2,000 to help the church in Russia. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
I want to tell you, that's going to be helping some orphans that society has forgotten about. That's going to be helping some young people that have lost hope and lost faith. They're going to find hope and faith in Jesus Christ. And you're part of that. That is awesome. I love you guys. Thank you. Y'all are mighty folks. Somebody say mighty. That's what we are. We're not mega, but we are mighty. All right. We can do all things through Christ. That sounds pretty mighty to me. Hello, friends in the room, all you beautiful people in the room, and hello to all our family watching online, listening online. We love you guys. Y'all don't just lurk out there now, you hear? You go share our, you know, share this video with somebody and go leave a comment, all right? It's good. We like to know that you're there. It's nice that you're lurking, but it's so much better when you take part and talk to us and stuff. Internet lurkers, all right. Everybody, what's the name of our new sermon series? It's starting today.
First Responders.
My name is Chris Fluitt, and I'm very pumped to be starting this message series today. What do you think of when you hear the words first responders? Get that picture in your head. What is that to you? I always think back to 2001, 9/11. That's the first time I really remember hearing the term first responders. Now, that term is used a lot in the news today, right? You can't hardly go a news report without hearing about first responders. But I remember on that September 11th, seeing policemen, seeing firemen, seeing emergency medical transit people running into a building that was collapsing. You remember that? They did this to save lives, and they did save lives, even though some of them gave their life in the process. What is a first responder? Here's a working definition that we're going to keep coming back to in this sermon series. Listen up. Someone designated or trained to respond to an emergency. So they're designated and they're trained to respond to an emergency. Raise your hand if you've ever had an emergency and had to call 911. Anybody? Anyone? All right, cool. Excellent. I'm not alone. Did anyone show up?
Yeah.
Yeah, they showed up. Did help show up?
Yeah.
Were they helpful?
Yeah.
I believe they were. I hope they were. I remember when our young family had to call 911 for the first time. No, it wasn't a domestic dispute. The rumors that Sarah was beating me up are not completely true. We didn't call 911 about that. Jokes. We got jokes. But no, we very seriously, we had a serious thing happen one Sunday night after church. I remember it so vividly. Our son had an epileptic seizure. And at that time, we didn't know he had epilepsy. And it was frightening and crazy. And looking back, there's some funny parts about it, but it was just crazy. It was just insane. The kid at church had eaten a red snow cone, all right? And so he puked up what we thought was blood in all the crisis and like really freaking out. Like, we already knew it was bad. Now there's blood everywhere. It turned out to be regurgitated snow cone, all right? Wonderful. But we called 911 in this insanely scary time. We thought he was going to die. It was a panicked moment. But we called 911 and the responders came. The first people to show up were firemen. And you know what? We had no fire in the house, but I was so glad they were there. Can I tell you something? When you are in need of help, you don't turn down any help. Like, if you are turning down help, you must not really need it, right? We didn't stand at the door and say, I'm sorry, firemen, there's no fire here. We're going to wait for the EMT. No, we're like, please, can you do anything? And a fireman, I remember so well, this fireman on this big bulky gear comes in and he comes and looks over our son who's laying on the ground in the fog after this episode that we didn't know what it was yet. And he asks, does your son have epilepsy? And we're like, what? And he's like, it looks like he's had a seizure and this is the aftermath of a seizure. He's going to be okay, but the ambulance is coming. He needs to go to the ER to be checked out. Don't know that fireman's name, but he helped us so much. I'm so thankful for him. I'm so thankful for the ambulance drivers that came and took our son. I'm so thankful for the emergency room workers. I'm so thankful for every one of them. Are you thankful for our first responders?
Yes.
Absolutely. When you call for help, they come running, and I'm truly thankful. We're so blessed to live in a country where one phone call can send you three different vehicles to your house. Seriously, one phone call can send the police, the fire trucks, and the EMT. One phone call, all right? I think we ought to take one moment and be thankful for these men and women. Can we clap our hands for first responders? Be thankful. I think that's worthy of honor. Do you think that's worthy of honor? Maybe this week during this series, you just notice a little bit more about the first responders around you. Take a moment and thank them, right? They're in the line next to you in Starbucks. Buy their coffee. Go ahead. If you can't buy their coffee, then just thank them. Say something nice to them, all right? You would think that that happens all the time. I would tell you that I'm pretty sure they would tell you it does not happen. I would definitely tell you it probably doesn't happen enough. And pray for them. Pray for them. I remember in Sunday school, Carla Meyer was my Sunday school teacher, and she taught me this. She taught me this. Such a simple thing. Whenever you see an ambulance, whenever you see a fireman, whenever you see a police car with their lights on, you should pray. Just little simple thing from Sunday school. I carry that forward. You need to pray for people. Say, God, I don't know what the emergency is, but God, be with the emergency workers and be with the people in the middle of that emergency, because those people are freaking out and they need your love. They need your care. They need a miracle. A first responder, reminding you, is someone designated or trained to respond to an emergency. Now, sometimes that emergency is our emergency. I want to tell you that we have emergencies. Will you allow me to preach to you a little bit today? Will you let me? Okay. There are many emergencies a first responder is called to. Fire, traffic accidents, shootings, terrorism, medical need, crime, violence, public health concern. These are just some of the things that they are called for and they come running on the scene. A first responder is someone designated, trained to respond to these emergencies. Redemption Church, I would like to challenge you today to become a first responder. I believe God has called you, that He's got purpose on your life, and that He has designated you to be a first responder. Do you believe that? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
All right? I believe He wants to train you up. He wants to train you up through His Word and give you power through the Holy Spirit to be a first responder to all the emergencies in the world, in our nation, in our city, and in our community. Do you agree with that? If you agree with that, say amen.
Amen.
All right, I love it. I want to tell you that there are emergencies around here.
Yeah.
We have an emergency. Could you just look at somebody and say, we have an emergency? Oh my goodness. Have you ever had someone just walk up to you trying to remain calm? You ever have like as a pastor during service, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. It's like somebody's like, we have an emergency. The toilet has just overflowed. Like, this happens as a pastor, right? All the time. It's like, praise the Lord. Let me go get a mop. It's the pastor's life for me. That's just it. All right. But I want to tell you, we have an emergency. And this is some serious stuff. I want you to listen up. Many people are dying. Did you know that Dallas is the 25th deadliest city in the United States? 25th highest death count in the last year. There were 196 homicides last year in Dallas. Almost 20,000 Americans were murdered last year. Their life was taken by another person. About 20,000 people. Is that emergency?
Yes.
Don't you think somebody should respond to this issue? Oh yeah, but we'll just let Washington, D.C. respond to that. How's that working for us? No, I think somebody needs to respond to this emergency and not pass the buck. Say amen. Amen. Come on. Come on, somebody. Many people are killing themselves. We talked about killing others. This stat, I wasn't ready for. There were 1.4 million suicide attempts in the United States last year. Somebody say that number, 1.4 million. Please sit down. 1,400,000 suicide attempts. People tried to take their own life. 47,173 of them succeeded in taking their life. Suicide, it's on the rise. Anybody feel like this is an emergency?
It's an emergency.
Many are dying from disease. You've heard of heart disease? 647,000 people die from heart disease every year. Cancer kills 599,000 people every year. You have the heartache of the people that are going through the sickness, but how many know it doesn't stop there? Because everybody who loves that person is going through such heartache and such pain. And each one of those people would say, they would amen me right now. They would say, yes, that's an emergency. There are parts of the world where children are dying from diseases and viruses. That's not the worst part. The worst part is that these children are dying from diseases and viruses that could be easily cured if somebody would just cure them. If they just had medicine. We're not talking $1,000 medicine. We're not talking $1 million medicines. We're talking vaccines that cost a dollar, would save a child's life in Haiti, would save a child's life in Africa. And that is such a small thing. How about this? How about giving them shoes? Do you realize if they just had shoes on their feet, it would prevent the disease from ever happening in the first place? A dollar for a vaccine, a couple of bucks for shoes, and it would solve a huge problem. How big of a problem? 5.6 million children. 5.6 million little babies. 5.6 million children being buried in a grave by their parents if they only had shoes, if they only had a vaccine. Come on, somebody. I think there's an emergency in our world. 5.6 million, that's 15,000 a day. We need some first responders in this world. Amen?
Amen.
Looking on, many are destroying the lives of the unborn. In the United States, 638,000 abortions occurred. Now, let's just cut through the whole thing right here. Okay, I know that you say abortions, you're just getting ready for some kind of knockout, drag-out fight. And I don't mean to make anyone mad today. But I will look anyone in the eye. I'll look you right in the eye. I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. It's not about politics at all. It's about a huge body count. I would tell you that anything that is taking the lives of 638,000 people every year is an emergency, and somebody ought to do something about it. We need somebody to respond to this terrible, terrible emergency. Oh my goodness, I said it in church. Y'all with me still? Thank you so much. Many are hungry. Many are starving. Many haven't eaten today. In the U.S., What nation?
US.
In the U.S. The richest nation on earth. Thank God for this nation.
Yes.
But in the U.S., 40 million. Somebody say 40 million.
40 million.
40 million people are hungry and undernourished in this country.
Yes.
We're talking in a country and we have food in our fridge that's going bad. We got food that they're throwing away at the grocery store. Literally, every fast food place you run across, they get to the end of the day, they made food that nobody ate. They wrap it up in a trash bag and they throw it in the trash. There is so much waste in this very rich nation. And somehow, there are 40 million people that are hungry and starving. The richest nation on earth. 1 in 6 children. Every 6 children you see. You saw some children today? There were more than 6 children here. It says every 1 in 6 children does not know where the next meal is coming from. There were children in your area, in your community, in your neighborhood that couldn't wait for school to start. Because they weren't excited about recess. They weren't excited about making friends. They weren't excited about learning. They were excited that they would get breakfast and lunch. Redemption Church, is this an emergency? Is it even a solvable problem? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're not talking about an impossibility here. We're talking about changing the lives of one person, 2 people, 3 people, 4 people, family after family. We could do that. But somebody's got to respond to the call. Many have no place to go. This breaks my heart. On any given night, over 500,000 people are homeless. Any given night. And it fluctuates. Last year, the peak, it peaked out at 553,000 people were homeless one night. And it moves around. But over 500,000 people have no place to go. So they're literally, they might have just gotten kicked out of their house. They're looking for a shelter. And let me tell you, have you ever been to a shelter? Oh my gosh, you're talking about scary places. You're talking about scary places. It's not a place you'd want to take your kids. It's a big room with hundreds of people you don't know. They turn off the lights and they just throw a mat on the ground and you get to sleep on it. And you're holding your kids so close to you, scared in that situation. Oh, that's not fun at all. It's not fun. And sometimes, you know, my gosh, I answer the phone for this church and I've heard about other churches. No, they just get these phone calls and they just go, oh, we'll just take you to the nearby shelter. That's okay. We'll just take you to... It is not okay. It's not okay. There's some of those families with children. Not on your life should they go to that shelter. Is this too real for you? Over 500,000 people are without a place to stay tonight. 20% of that number is children under the age of 18. 20% of that number is children under the age of 18. That's 114,000. 114,000 kids don't have a place to stay tonight. Nearly 100,000 people are considered chronically homeless. You know what it means to be chronically homeless? Chronically homeless is a term some bureaucrat came up with in the government to describe, meaning that they have been homeless for over a year. So we're talking 1/5 of this entire number. 20% of this number, they've been homeless so long, they've maybe given up on ever having a home. Does anyone see an emergency here?
Yes.
Many are turning to drugs. 19.7 million adults have a drug addiction, according to 2017 stat. The rise of opioid use has led to 130 deaths a day. These are opioids. These are drugs that are in your kitchen cabinet that somebody has turned to painkillers. And they have taken those drugs and they've gotten hooked on them. And by taking them, they have overdosed, and 130 die of an overdose daily. And guess what opioid use leads to? It leads to heroin use. And over the last decade, the number of heroin users has doubled. It's an emergency. Now, when you say drugs, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of having this picture of like some really bad person from a movie out in a dark alleyway. It's a drug dealer. Oh my gosh. They've got all kinds of crazy tattoos, except they have a nice one right here that says mom, but all the rest are scary. I get these pictures. Get that picture out of your head. We're talking kids wandering into mom and dad's bathroom, opening up the cabinet and taking painkillers and dying. That's the face of this epidemic. It's not in a dark alleyway. It's in the suburbs. It's in Plano, Texas. It's an affluent city. And guess what? The affluent kids seem to be more susceptible to the problem. There's an emergency all around us. I could be talking right now to someone that is fighting an opioid addiction. Get that in your head. That in your church, sitting, the person in your house could be, this is an emergency, y'all. This is scary. Human trafficking is such an emergency. We don't even really know the numbers of human trafficking. That's one of the scary things. People will say numbers, but we don't really know those numbers. Not even close. It's scary. That's what scares me the most. 24.9 million victims of human trafficking globally. 24.9 million human trafficking victims globally. And I don't have time to go any further down this list. You know what's down this list? I mean, a lot of stuff we could talk about. We could talk about divorce and the fall of our moral institutions. You probably know that the divorce rate has ticked over 50%. You know that number? We could talk about corruption and greed. We could talk about those that have money, but they're getting it in corrupt ways, and they're greedy for more of it. And they'll do anything to get it. That's a huge emergency. We could talk about racism that's tearing our nation apart. We could talk about that. We could talk about the rise of racial supremacy. We could talk about that. We could talk about the forgotten men and women in the prison system that have very little help when they complete their sentences. And it's like a revolving door right back in to the prison. We could talk about the crisis of illegal immigration and the many children that are caught in that scary situation. We could talk about domestic violence. We could talk about the devastating suicide rate within the LGBTQ community. It's crazy, those stats. We could talk about school shootings. We could talk about natural disasters like hurricanes, tornadoes, tsunamis, fires, earthquakes. We could talk about religious persecution. Then we could flip the script a little bit. We could even talk about how some religions that I won't name, that I won't even name, are actually persecuting other people. There are religions, well-known religions in this world, that hang people for being homosexual. There are religions in this world that will kill little girls for trying to learn and have an education past a certain age group. We could talk about terrorism. We could talk about how we as Christians believe in eternal souls. That means that every person has a soul that lasts forever. We could talk about how each stat I was giving you is so much more than just a number, but it has a soul attached to that stat. That way, when you go to know those numbers and you have 20,000 here, 638,000 here, 12 million here, those are souls. Sometimes they're just printed articles and printed ink blots on a page. No, sir, this is of eternal significance. Those are souls. And each one of those numbers, each one of those souls is going to spend an eternity somewhere. They're either going to spend it in heaven. Somebody save the next one with me. Or they're going to spend it in hell. Oh my gosh, do you know how many churches don't even utter the word hell anymore? Every soul is going to spend it in heaven or say it, hell. Don't you dare be afraid of that word. You shouldn't be afraid of the word hell. You should be afraid of someone not knowing about the word hell.
That's right.
That was preaching right there. You ought to be fearful that someone in your life doesn't know about a place called hell. We could talk, and we could talk, and we could talk, and we could talk. But what we really need is someone to respond. We don't need more talking, do we? We don't need more talking. We need some response. Look at somebody, say, somebody needs to respond. We have an emergency over here. Imagine somebody having an emergency. They don't just say, hey, I have an emergency if you can come. No, they're like, we have an emergency over here. We need some help over here. Help somebody. Somebody call the police. Someone call 911. There are people that have that kind of issue happening on the inside of them. You know what an emergency response vehicle looks like. You see them every day. They were in our video at the intro. Emergency response vehicles are really good at letting people know that there's an emergency. Yeah. Aren't they? Yeah. How do they do it? Somebody tell me. How does emergency response? Woo! Right? You hear it and you also
see it.
You see it, right? They sound an alarm. You hear the sirens for miles. I remember growing up and you would actually hear the dogs howl before you would hear the sirens because they would hear it for all that. And then certain I would be playing with my friend. I'm like, oh my goodness, police car's coming. How do you know? Well, the dogs are howling. You hear it. And then you're woo. Yet in some of these emergencies that we talk to you about today, there's no alarm being sounded. There's no alarm. There's no alarm being sounded in those situations. I'm absolutely certain that our leaders in government only use these tragedies and these emergencies to get votes. They really don't want to. Now, y'all don't have to believe that, but I believe it with all my heart. I believe they just want your vote. We've sent them back and back and back to Washington to do something about it, and they've not done very much about anything except say they need you to vote for them next time.
Right.
My gosh, I'm getting mad. Somebody needs to sound the alarm. Redemption Church, someone needs to sound the alarm. Somebody needs to boldly cry out like a siren. Someone needs to open their mouth and share the good news of the gospel. Someone needs to not be afraid to open their mouth and say, Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Jesus has more for you than this. Open your mouth. Sound the alarm. Say the words. Someone needs to open their wallet and pull out a dollar. They need to hand it to the person, look them in the eye, and say, Jesus loves you. He's got more for you than this. Do you feel alone? Because you don't have to feel alone. Do you have someone to talk to? I'm telling you, when was the last time? You may have handed someone at a dollar, but did you sound the alarm? Did you tell them, do you have someone to talk to? Well, you do now. You do now. You have a church full of people. Do you need a ride to church? Do you need a ride to a connect group? Can I give you a little clue? When you are giving them that dollar, you can tell them anything. It is the safest testimony training ever. Do it. Open your mouth. Say, do you need help? Do you need help? Can I pray for you? Ask them if they believe in God. Where are they with God? Sound that alarm. It is not enough to go, oh, look at them and go, well, I'm going to say a little prayer for them in my heart. No. Pray in your heart. But guess what? Sound the alarm. Make a sound. Emergency response vehicles make a sound. And we, the Church of Jesus Christ, we are way too quiet. If it is an emergency, I need to hear the siren of prayer. I tell you what, I'm so blessed. I grew up around some people that prayed loudly and boldly. I tell you what, I grew up around some people that they were so moved in their heart and in their emotions that they bawled and they cried tears and they lifted their voice loudly and passionately in prayer. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, when it's an emergency, it's not time for now I lay me down to sleep type of prayer. Heaven's got to hear us. We've got to sound the alarm. We need an emergency response kind of prayer. So they've got these huge sirens on these emergency vehicles, and then they've got the lights, right? The lights, right? Every emergency vehicle shines a light, and you can see the light from a long way off and know they're coming. You've seen those flashing lights that get everybody's attention. In fact, sometimes they what are the people, rubberneckers? They just slows down 75 every time. I'm like, get the police car away from here. You're going to get somebody killed. Everybody, what's going on over there? I'm mad about too many things today, I think. I'm going to work on that. Y'all pray for me. Do you remember that we're called to shine the light of Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ looks it up and says, you are the light of the world. Jesus Christ, who is the light, looks at us and says, you are the light of the world. You are the city on the hill that everybody has to see. You are a light that shouldn't be hid under a bowl. He says that about you. We need to shine a light that says God can deliver you. We need to shine a light that says God loves you, that God has more for you, that God cares for you, that God can heal, that God is true, that Jesus is coming back. You need to get ready. These are lights. We got to shine them. And guess what? This is also where we have spoken the word. We've been the siren. Now we live the word. And people see it. And you ought to be living such a beautiful life that somebody goes, wow, I want what they have. And that's where you tell them, you can absolutely have what I have. We need to shine a light that says he rescued me and he can rescue you and help is on the way. Redemption Church, somebody needs to respond. Say amen if you agree. Amen. I want to tell you very quickly that God is a first responder. God is a first responder. God's a savior, isn't he? He's mighty to save. He sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Psalm 68, 19 through 20. This is our scripture memory verse for this month. I want you to memorize these two verses. Read them out loud with me. Praise be to the Lord, to God our Savior, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. God doesn't just stand around looking at humanity disappointingly. Some people have that picture of God, that God's up there just going, what are they doing now? Upset, like a grumpy dad. Brr. No, it says he doesn't just stand around. He daily bears our burdens. He's not just standing around. He's responding to your burdens daily. Yes. He is a God who saves, and from the sovereign Lord comes escape from death. Do you realize that God is trying to work in your life and the lives of every person to bring them an escape from death? I want to tell you that God is the very first responder. He created the world, but he's also the first responder to save that world. He came to save you before you even knew you needed saving. It wasn't when you realized that you needed saving that he came to the world. Oh man, I'm really messed up. And God goes, oh man, he is messed up. I'm going to go save him. No, long before you realized you were just messed up and broken, he had come to save the messed up and the broken. God sent his son into the world to save you. And he did this first thing. Everyone say first thing. Revelation 13:8 tells us that Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. You see, now we could talk about the historical timeline, and 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross. But in the heart of God, in the plan of God, in the foreknowledge of God, from the very beginning of creation, Jesus was sent to die for us. I would say that makes him a first responder, wouldn't you? Long before someone formed a military, long before someone formed the Coast Guard, long before someone formed an EMT or learned mouth-to-mouth resuscitation, Jesus Christ was sent into the world to die for us because God is a first responder from the creation of the world. But from the creation, he has also called you to be a first responder. Get a load of these two verses right here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Anybody sound familiar, right? Before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. The very next chapter, Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. I want you to get this picture. This picture is really easy for you to get. That God is in the beginning. He's in the creation of the world. And he designates Jesus Christ to be our first responder. You get that. But do you also get this? That in the very beginning, in the very creation of the world, he is creating you in Jesus Christ. From the beginning, from the creation of the world, he's choosing you. And he's also made you his handiwork. You are his workmanship to do what? To do things. To do prepared things that he's prepared in advance. He's prepared them in advance. God created you to be a first responder. Even as he's sending Jesus Christ into the world, he is foreseeing you. And he is calling you, designating you to be a first responder. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Say amen if you see it.
Amen.
I tell you, Redemption Church, if we don't believe that we are called by God to be first responders, to be help in an emergency, to help this broken, emergency-filled world, if we don't believe that, then I don't know what to tell us. What are we doing here? Why are we doing this if we don't believe this? Oh, let me go a little further. If we do believe this, I would say we need to look at our life a little bit. Because does our life match our belief here? Are you a first responder? You ask yourself that. Are you designated? Are you trained to respond to an emergency? One of my favorite things that I've learned, you know, there's so much heartache in the world. Right now we're getting ready. We're praying for Florida that they don't just get wiped off. Is your mom okay, by the way? We'll talk later. We're worried about Florida. And it's like, I don't know what's going to happen with Florida. But here's one way we pray around here. We pray, God, let the church in the middle of that crisis, let them stand up. Let them be ready to serve. Let them be first responders. Let them bring hope to their community. Let them serve their community. Lord, let them, with the love of Jesus Christ, open up their homes, open up their churches, open up their bank accounts, open it up to save their cities, to bring healing, to bring hope and peace to the world. Whenever there's a crisis, whenever there's an emergency, this is something that's not said enough. We got people on the ground there. And I'm not talking about FEMA. I'm not talking about a government agency. I'm talking about the body of Christ. Can I tell you, the body of Christ is such a big deal. Wherever the shooting is, wherever the natural disaster is, wherever the terrorist attack is, wherever the pain and the suffering is, the church of Jesus Christ is there. Let the church rise up and be part of the answer. All right? That's on a global scale. Now, we need to take that to the day in and day out emergencies all around us. Because the church is not this building. You, my friends, you are the church. Somebody say, you are the church.
You are the church.
You are the church. My goodness. Will you respond, church? I'm talking to you as individual church. You right here. Will you respond to the cries for help? Will you sound the alarm? Will you shine the light? Will you go and help? Jesus Christ has commissioned you. We could talk about the Great Commission, but we've preached on that so many times. There's five times in your Bible it gives the Great Commission straight from the mouth of Jesus, where he commissions his believers to go and respond to all the brokenness in this world. With the gospel. He's called you. He's commissioned you to go into all the world. You are designated. And Jesus Christ wants to fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to open up his word and get trained up in how to live and how to love other people. So you will have all the power and all your training that you need to be the greatest first responder of all time. God has purposed you from the creation of the world to do something that a policeman cannot do. I love you, policeman, but listen here. You're called to do something a policeman could never do. You're called to do something a fireman could never do, or an EMT worker could never do. Do you realize what a big deal it is? He's called you. He's purposed you. Where are you, Christians? Where are you, Christians? Christians, you told me, Christians, that you believe in a God, that you believe your God is a God who saves, and that God never fails. If it's true, prove it by being bold. Where are you, Christians? You told me you believe that your God is a God who heals. So why don't you go and bind up the brokenhearted? Why don't you go and minister to the sick? Where are you, Christians? Christians, you told me that you believed in giving and serving. So where are you, Christians? There's so many hungry. There's so many lost. There's so many hopeless. Where are you, Mr. and Mrs. Christian? You told me that God loves white people, black people, red people, brown people, all the colors of the rainbow. So where is that love, Christian? Why isn't it flowing in our city? Where are you, Christian? You told me, Christian, that you believed you could do all things through Jesus Christ. Why do you stand by afraid to do something for Jesus Christ? You told me, Christian, that nothing is impossible. Then let's see something possible. Could we at least see something possible? I'm not talking impossible. I want to see the impossible, but we've not even accomplished the possible. You understand me? What's possible? The $5 in your wallet is possible. Do you know how much McDonald's that buys? Christian, you told me. You believe Jesus fed the hungry and touched the diseased and the forgotten. Christian, you said that you believed in this Jesus and that you followed him. So Christian, where are you? Christian, you told me you believe the Bible. You've quoted scripture at me, Christian. Let's see the Bible in your life, Christian. Christian, you told me you believed in prayer. Then let's pray. Let's pray like we've never prayed before. Christian, you said that you believed in an apostolic, Acts chapter 2, Holy Ghost revival. You told me you believed that. Then let's have that revival, Christian. Christian, you told me you believed I could lay hands on the sick and they recover. Then let's lay hands on the sick. Let's believe. Let's walk in faith. Let's not walk past the accident. Let's step up to the accident and lay our hands on it. Yes. Christian, you told me you believe Jesus is coming back. Then we better hurry. Yes. Oh my goodness. What has gotten into you? Well, it's your fault. You're the Christian who told me this was possible. Are you getting me here? You're the one who told me the Bible was true. I'm just believing it. I'm just getting radically upset that it's not happening. I'm getting passionate. Come on, Christian. The world is burning. Where are the Christians? We're about to pray in this altar. And I have never said this. I've been a pretty nice guy. I've been a pretty nice pastor. But I'm going to tell you something. We're about to pray. Y'all listen to me. I say this in love, but I'm direct. If you don't feel like praying today, we've got a wonderful lobby out there. You can go have some coffee, and we'll hang out with you later. You can actually go out there and act like there are no emergencies in the world that you need to pray about. Okay? But I'm hoping and I'm praying that I'm in a room right now with some Christians who feel the need to pray for their world. That they feel the need to respond. Maybe you don't even know how to respond. Some of you know exactly how to respond. And you need to come to this altar and you need to take that first step today. God, I'm going to do that thing that you put on my heart. Some of you don't know how to respond. Well, guess what? You should come to the altar too. And guess what? Pray. God, how do I respond? There's so much here. Point me in a direction. We are going to pray. Does anybody want to join me in this altar? I pray to God that I have some believers right here in this place. I'm going to be the first one down here in this altar. I want you to join me today right down here. If you want special prayer, I want you to come in the first 2 feet. We are going to pray for you. Father, I pray for every person in this house, God. Lord, I pray, God, for all the people watching and listening online. God, help us not to just go about our day. Help us, Lord, to get involved. Help us, God, to respond to all the carnage, to all the hurting, God, in Jesus' name. Help us be first responders, Jesus. Help us to be people of prayer. Help us to be people that serve. Help us to be people filled with love, God. In Jesus' name, Lord, shake up your church, God. Don't let us just come to church. Let us be the church, God. Help us, Lord, all to reach out to you over these next few moments and feel your presence, God. In Jesus' name, if you're watching and listening online, I want you to reach out to the Lord. I want you to ask God to use you. I want you to pray over your family. I want you to pray over your nation. I want you to pray over your home. I want you to pray over your city in Jesus' name. Pray over your church, God. Pray over it all in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, God, for ministering. Lord, we thank you, God, for speaking to us. God, challenge us, God, and take us further. Lord, we pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, church, let's talk to God. Let's talk to God in this house. You've got some emergencies in your life you need to bring right to His altar right now. You need to pray for your family. You need to pray over someone that's sick. You need to pray over those that are lost and dying in this world. In Jesus' name, come on, let's talk to God in this place. Father, in
for more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.